having been pastor here at St. James now only a short time, I admittedly really did not know Marilyn personally. I think I visited with her a couple of times at Friendship Manor, and the second time was after she had come back from Iowa City, so it really wasn't much of a visit. And the first time I remember was a situation where Marilyn and Ruth Anderson were in a lounge together, so I could visit with both of them at the same time. And as I recalled to the family this week, I seem to remember that Marilyn was the one who took charge of the conversation. They told me that they were pretty sure I was right, and I've since heard that that Marilyn might have been one of those people that never really lacked for conversation. A polite way of saying she liked to talk. In any case, my thoughts about Marilyn are based almost entirely on her obituary and the stories that her family shared with me over the last couple of days. And there were a lot of stories and descriptions. From the obituary, we learned that she was an Augustana College graduate and that her love for Augie remained for the rest of her life as she worked there in the 80s, served as her class representative on the alumni board, as president of the Augustana College Endowment Society. Beyond that, I was told she also took advantage of the many activities that Augie provided for the community, like attending concerts and sporting events. We also read in her obituary that she was active in the community and the church through things like the PTA, Cub Scouts, Sunday school teacher, Vacation Bible School teacher, church council member and president, active participant in St. James Women's Group, member of the Moline Junior Service League, American Association of University Women. I'm running out of breath trying to list all of the things that she did. Volunteered at the Putnam with the American Cancer Society, and a reader for the APRIS program for the blind. I also learned from the family that she was a dog person with Maxie. I couldn't read my own notes. With Maxie, and Maxie was, and this was new to me, a schnoodle, being her last pet. They also told me that she made a lot of her own clothes, that she was not a fan of camping. I heard a story about a camping trip that did not go particularly well. That she liked to share cookies with her family. And there was some difference of opinion as to how good the cookies actually were, but she liked to share them nonetheless. She enjoyed reading. She liked to go to TGI Fridays for her birthday, apparently so she could watch the river. And I got to thinking about that I'm not sure the river's much to watch on New Year's Eve. But that's what she liked to do. And that no matter where she went, she always seemed to run into somebody that she knew. Meaning that she knew a lot of people. And of course, as the obituary noted, and her family certainly reflected, Marilyn was devoted to her family. The grandkids, and I debated whether I was going to say this or not, whom she referred to as petunias, all spoke of the time that Marilyn spent with them, taking them to the park, Augustana football and basketball games, to the Children's Museum, and what probably would have been my favorite, to Lago Mercino's. And finally, I think it's also important to note that there were difficult times in Marilyn's life as well. Jack died at a relatively young age, leaving Marilyn to finish raising their two boys. And then the loss of Chris a couple years ago brought a pain into her life that I can't even begin to imagine. So I've reflected on all of those things. I think maybe her response to becoming a young widow says to me a lot about who Marilyn was. To suddenly be a single mother to her two boys, who at that time were the ages of 19 and 12, would have been full of challenges. Neither child was at an easy age. With Chris, the 12-year-old, entering those teen years that I don't think any parent finds especially fun. Together with Paul, who was at that point in his life, that transition between being independent and dependent. And at 19, you're kind of going back and forth between those two. It was a time when Marilyn, as Paul described, showed her strength. She met the challenges she faced, maybe not with perfection, but with determination and love. I got the impression that she did more than survive those years, but persevered to make sure that her children would grow into the good men that they did become. It is, I believe, the same love that she showed to her grandchildren, maybe sometimes being a little more involved in their lives than they might have liked. But it was a love that said, I care about you, I worry about you, and I want nothing but the best for you. It was a love that is not unlike the love of God in her life. Just as I'm certain that the people in Marilyn's life presented occasional challenges to her, we joked about that with Paul the other day, that we talked about Paul being the perfect child, and Gail laughed. So too, I'm sure, did she present occasional challenges to God. That's the reality of our humanity. We are all sinful and fall short of living up to God's expectations for us. But God, like Marilyn, does not give up and simply survive. Rather, God perseveres with his children. God, with determination and love, seeks nothing but the best for us. God, throughout the ups and downs in his relationship with Marilyn, continued to say, I care about you, I worry about you, and I want nothing but the best for you. Just as Marilyn was there for her children and grandchildren, for family and friends, through whatever tough times there were, so too has God been there for Marilyn through the difficult and painful times in her life. However, God takes his love for Marilyn one step further. While Marilyn's determination and love for her family and friends now ends with her death, God's love for her never ends. God continues even now to be there for Marilyn, to continue to want nothing but the best for her. That's the promise that God made to Marilyn in her baptism, which is symbolized by the pall draped over her casket this afternoon and by the paschal candle burning by the baptismal font. That's the promise from God that Paul suggests in his passage from 2 Corinthians that Gail read a few moments ago, when he talks about the temporary nature of our lives giving way to the inner, eternal nature of new life in God. That too is the promise that Paul talked about in his letter to the Romans when he wrote, "Know in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Nothing, Paul says. Nothing can stop God from loving his children. No grief, no illness, no hardship, nothing. Not even death itself. That's the promise that God made to Marilyn and to all of his children through baptism. God does not give up on his children, but promises to love them always. It is the promise God brought to Marilyn and brings to each and every one of us. It is God's promise to bring Marilyn to that home that Jesus has prepared for her. A home where, as Isaiah describes it, there are no tears or pain or suffering, but only joy and feasting in God's kingdom. And for that promise this day, we give thanks to God. Amen.